The sermon text from today's epistle reading. For I delivered to you as of first importance that what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. The words of our text. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So have you ever heard somebody use the word literally over and over again? I literally went to the grocery store and literally the prices were so high and literally the parking lot was just literally filled up. And sometimes it's even accompanied by the word like. Like I went literally out to school and then literally as we were sitting at the table, like we all started eating together and then like this and then like that. Okay, so we got, you know, sometimes it can be a little bit tedious when somebody uses the word literally over and over and over again. But this is the sense of what St. Paul is saying for us and saying to the Corinthians this morning. He's saying literally. Among the most important things that I have ever had been passed on and that I passed on to you is this. Literally, Jesus died for the taking away of your sins. Jesus atoned for your sin. He removed sin from you. He died. He was buried. He rose again. He appeared to many people, giving proof that he was alive. Everyone thought Jesus was dead. Everyone. His disciples thought Jesus was dead. His mother thought her son was dead. Pontius Pilate thought this man named Jesus was dead. The leaders of the Jewish nation thought Jesus to be dead. Satan himself thought Jesus to be dead. All thought Jesus dead. But he wasn't. He broke death. He destroyed death. He descended into hell to proclaim his victory over sin, death, hell, and the devil. His body was glorified, the stone was cast aside, and he came forth from the grave as a conquering Savior. And the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ is vitally important to all Christians. In fact, to all people. If Christ has not been raised from the dead, then we are false witnesses about him. As St. Paul goes on to write to the Corinthians, if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people to be most pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. If, says St. Paul, if Christ is not risen, then everything else comes into question. All that Jesus taught, all that Jesus ever said, creation, the prophets, the fall into sin, Jonah, Job, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Elijah, the whole promise of redemption, that there is even a God at all. If Jesus is not raised from the dead, all of that teeters and falters. The resurrection of Christ from the grave is central to the teaching of all Christianity, of everything that is Christian. Well, if the Jewish leaders could have walked to the grave, if they could have taken all the people out there and said, look, here's the stone. Roll the stone away. Look inside there. Do you see that body? Do you see those nail marks? Do you see those scars? Do you see that blood? That's Jesus. He's there. He's in the tomb. Now you need to pack it up and go home. But they couldn't do that. They were unable to do that. If they were able to do that, then everything that we do here this morning would be completely in vain. In fact, we wouldn't even be here this morning if they could have walked to the grave, pointed to Jesus' disciples and said, "See, there he is." But the fact remains, though, that Jesus wasn't in the grave. The fact remains that he did show himself alive to many people, to Cephas, to Peter, that is, and the other apostles, and at another time to more than 500 of the brethren at the exact same time. He broke bread. He ate fish. He said to Thomas, "See my hands? See my side? Put your fingers here. Touch me, and you will see that it is I who is alive." No one was able to point to Jesus' body in the grave and say, "Look, there's Jesus." But they were able to point to a living man and say, "Look, there's Jesus. We have seen him, and we have seen him alive." And because of the resurrection, because of the resurrected Jesus, we can trust everything that the Scripture tells us, that the death of Jesus Christ was indeed for the taking away of sin. Christ dies for the taking away of sin. Christ dies for us. Now, I'm absolutely 100% sure that the concept of sin is not a popular concept today. People don't like to hear that they have transgressed the will and the law of God. People don't like to hear that they have indeed sinned, that they have violated God's will. That's not a popular concept. People just want to say, "Look, if I choose to do it, if I want to do it, then it's okay and it must be okay." And the subtle implication of that is, "You must approve of what I do." But that is not the truth of what God says. Our sins are violations of the will of God. And I'm equally sure that nobody ever, since Adam and Eve, have liked to hear that message. You know, since Adam pointed to God, looked at God and said, you, God, the woman you gave me, she gave it to me and I ate. Adam tried to push his guilt off on God himself. The proclamation of individual sin and guilt before God has never been a popular message. But whether it's popular or unpopular, the declaration of the one true God still stands. Christ died for us. Christ died for our sins. This is the power of the cross, and it is folly to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. Unless one believes that Jesus is the Christ, they will indeed die in their sins and receive the eternal consequences of their rejection of Jesus. For without the death of Christ, we would still be in our sins. Christ really and truly died for our sins. The Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, they all state that Christ died, that he was buried, that he had truly and indeed become a dead person. But we're not here to rejoice over a burial. We are not here to sing our alleluias over an occupied grave, but rather we sing because the tomb is empty. The grave is found vacant. We are singing because the empty tomb means that our sins are paid for. Every single one of your sins have been paid for by Christ. Easter for us, Easter not just for us, but for every human being, is the death of death. So death no longer has any dominion over us. The grave was unable to hold Jesus, and for we who trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins, the grave is unable to hold us also. It takes, and it does. This is the reason for Lent. It takes an abundant understanding. It takes a deep understanding of the magnitude of sin to be able to grasp the joy, the uncomprehending or incomprehensible joy of the resurrection. We Christians rejoice this day, for we are connected to Christ. His victory is your victory, and in His resurrection is your resurrection. Jesus was raised from the glory of the Father, and you too who believe in Christ will rise from the grave one day, and your bodies will reflect the glory of your heavenly Father. Baptized into Christ, you are baptized into Jesus' work, as it is written. All of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death. We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with Him in a death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it is absolutely true. Yes, we do recognize the magnitude of our sin. But even more than that, we rejoice that the price for sin was paid in full by Jesus Christ Himself. That Jesus Christ is now alive, that He lives and reigns to all eternity, and in Christ we too will rise from the grave to live with glorified bodies, to live for all eternity, immortal, imperishable, reflecting the glory of God for all of eternity. That is why we assemble this morning. That is why we come on this resurrection day. That is why we sing our alleluias. For Christ is risen. He is risen indeed.
Alleluia.
Amen.